Rejoice, dear listener, for your endless march through the internet has finally produced something to add meaning to your empty, meandering existence. Your friends at Idiots Discuss the Universe are digging up musical gems of the past and deciding if they have any shine left or not. Welcome to Old Gold.
You know what's something I realized? Actually, I forget if we talked about this already, but no one messes with a dude in a helmet.
No, you've brought that up a couple times.
Yeah.
No, I think it's either out of fear or pity.
One or the other.
Depending on the style of helmet.
Yeah. It doesn't, and that's another thing I realized. It almost doesn't matter the style of helmet. It matters a little bit as far as interpretation of
other dudes in helmets will mess with a guy in helmets.
And that's the one stipulation. Only other guys in helmets will mess with
you kind
dudes
of attract helmet attention when you're wearing a helmet.
You do. But even it's funny because I was at Laurelhurst Park the other day and I biked there and I biked up to a bench and met my friend Jay Cads and we were hanging out and I just left my helmet on, you know, left it on for a while, just kind of left it on. And my bike was right there. People could put two and two together, but I was still getting some looks.
I'll bet. Yeah.
Still getting plenty of looks. Like, why is that guy wearing a helmet? He's just standing around.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a bike helmet. Oh, there's his bike. Still weird, but okay. That's kind of like the math that was going on. And, it was kind of funny. And it made me think, you know, like, what is it psychologically where it's like, ooh, it's a helmet. Like, just steer clear.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you kind of give off the impression that you're already kind of on edge or you're kind of feeling like the world's already danger.
Right.
So people don't want to, like, mess with that too much.
Right.
I think if you found other social environments, you would find more people willing to engage you, you know, probably.
Other helmeted people or just...
I think like if you wore a helmet in other countries, they would be like, what the hell are you doing wearing a helmet?
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's kind of a weird deal.
It's
kind of a weird deal.
It is a bit. It's a little bit funny.
It's kind of the white person's version of wearing the bulletproof vest. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, really, do you need the bulletproof vest? I mean, you're wearing it. I get it. You know, it kind of like denotes like a certain lifestyle or something.
Sure. There's a need for it.
But it's kind of excessive safety at Sears. You know, where like you wearing your helmet to the brewery or whatever is kind of excessive safety
right.
for that white person environment.
Right.
And so it makes you seem a little paranoid.
Little paranoid.
But rather than worrying about a drive-by, you're worried about, like, earthquake or somebody dropping something on your head or...
Hey, man, you never know.
White guy dangers.
Yeah.
You know, you're worried about white guy dangers.
Yeah, like, oh, this tile up here doesn't look too secure on the ceiling here, so I'm just going to keep my helmet on for this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See? Yeah, it's a good white guy move.
It's a good white guy move.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess we're full of those. Here today on Idiots Discuss the Universe.
Yeah, I guess we are full.
I don't know. It's weird. It feels like a weird thing to say. But welcome, one and all.
Welcome, welcome.
We love you guys for listening, and we love everyone, even if they don't listen, even if they don't love us, we love them. Except for the few people who, you know who you are, fuck you. we're back. I'm Spenny. That's Craig.
Hi.
Hi. And today we're doing an old gold.
Old gold.
An old and golden. It's a fun-filled old gold romp through the past. And that's when your beloved idiots take a time machine journey of a musical variety through the past. We find something, some sort of gem that was before the year 2000. That's the
rule.
That's the rule. And we examine it and we see if it holds up. Basically.
Sure.
You know, in these new fast times of the roaring 20s.
And sometimes I take the reins and sometimes Spenny takes the reins. And today Spenny's going to take the reins.
I'm
because we're covering a band that both of us enjoy, but it's one of Benny's favorites.
They have become one of my favorites. It's true. And it's Deftones.
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 Which really, like, it always sounds like it should be like a 50s rockabilly band to me.
Yeah, definitely.
It still does.
Definitely.
Even though I know in my heart of hearts, and I've known for many years, that it's just, I know what it is, and it still sounds like they should all dress like the Fonz and be singing like rockabilly songs.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
It's just Deft.
Well, it's the tones part, like the Deltones and the funk tones, and like there was a bunch
and
of Deft, tones bands.
And Deft seems kind of dated too.
Deft?
Deft. As I mean, Deft is like adept.
Yeah, like, but I don't think
deaf.
I wouldn't.
They're
read
trying
it.
To be deaf.
Yeah,
but
like
it sounds
Def
like
Jam.
Deft tones to me.
Deft.
So it kind of has like that Deft.
But there's not two T's.
I know there's not.
Deft
but it's
tones.
Pronounced phonetically Deft tones.
No, it's not.
Deft tones. I mean, it's
Deft tones. There's a difference between Deft tones and Deft tones.
Not if you say it fast.
Deft tones. Yeah, Deft tones. Deft
really.
Tones. Deft
you
tones.
You sound like a moron when you
Deft
say it like
tones.
That.
Yeah,
Deft
okay.
tones. Deft tones are
I
Deft
get
tones.
It. Okay, I get it. I
it's
get
pretty
it.
Pretty close.
But it's like Deft, like Deft Jam.
Right.
Right, that
oh,
was
I
a
know.
Rap
oh,
term.
Oh, I know.
Do you get it, Craig?
I get it.
Okay, it's like Deft
I
Jam.
Get it.
Okay. Not Deft Jam.
Yeah. I like it less when I think about it the way that it's supposed to be.
Okay.
Almost.
But
I almost like it being a metal band that kind of sounds like it's an old doo-wop group.
But that is also what it's supposed to be, because the tones thing
yeah.
is so much like a 50s.
I don't think they meant the 50s thing at all. Do you? Do you think
yeah.
they meant that?
Yeah.
Just the tones. I think it's Deft
tones.
Tones. Just tones, dude.
Tones.
Like tone, tony, tone.
Like
they
guitar
were, like,
tone?
Was hip. It was like hip.
Right.
You know, they
but
were just trying to make it hip, but they weren't thinking about, like, you know, the Deltones and all those people from the 50s, were they?
I think so.
I'd like to
it's
see.
Too close to be completely unaware, to like.
I don't think they were completely unaware from it, but I think they're like, we're doing it even though it's, you know, I harken back to this, but nobody cares about
well,
that anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
I think.
And we don't care about that anymore, but it's still fucking, it's a cool name.
I think that it didn't really necessarily influence them musically, other than maybe Chino, the vocalist. Because he's got kind of a crooner thing that he does
yeah.
and has gotten into more over the course of their album that you could say is kind of like harkens back to a, you know, 50s rock pop boy band kind of thing at times, you know?
Yeah.
Like teenage crooner vibes. And they
yeah.
would always have like slick back hair, but then
I
it was like,
that's true.
But it was plus like nu metal era, you know?
Okay. Okay. So I guess it did.
I mean, they didn't wear suits.
Fashion-wise, it did kind of probably. They probably did.
Just a drop of it.
Just a
drop
of it.
You know.
Okay. All right.
And
I'll allow it.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying this from like a 100% factual thing, but I think that those are some pretty.
It'd be interesting to hear them talk about where they got the name.
Yeah.
Why they came up with that name.
It would be. And I'm sure there's interviews out there where they talk about it. But they're one of these bands, Deftones, if you're not aware, that in my opinion, they're one of these few lucky bands that transcends the scene that they grow up in or that they blow up in, you know.
Yeah. The Radiohead of metal.
Mm-hmm. I would say that's very accurate. And they came up in the nu metal era, which a lot of people hear that term nu metal and they cringe, and oftentimes rightfully so. But Deftones had a lot of these similar elements of their contemporaries like Korn and Slipknot, especially on their first album, Adrenaline. But then they really started to make it their own thing. And that really started to come together on their second album in 1997 called Around the Fur, which is the album that we're going to be talking about today, Around the Fur. And while their third album in 2000, White Pony, is considered to be like the be-all, end-all classic of their catalog, Around the Fur, I would say, is when Deftones like really reared their head, and it's a cool era in their sound. Like, it's before they have it all figured out. You know what I mean? White sure. Pony is where they figured out their fucking right. tone, like sound, and just locked it in, and it's brilliant. And this is, you know,
almost,
they're
almost there.
Exactly. It's almost there, but in that way, it's kind of cooler, in my opinion. I don't know. I love both albums, but it's a sick album. And Deftones is one of these bands, one of these few bands that has transcended, like I said, and everyone in the metal world just loves them, pretty much. You know, like, obviously there's people who don't like clean singing or whatever. Mm-hmm. They just want their gurgles, and they don't like that, but they don't like most things. But everyone who, you know, likes hard rock, everyone who likes hard rock and, you know, heavy music of any kind, I think can get down with some Deftones, and will also agree that they've been very surprisingly, like, creatively sound throughout their whole career.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like both that interesting, you know, Radiohead level, not same level of success necessarily.
No.
But the yeah, thanks. No. Oh. Oh no. No. No.
No, I mean, cuz Radiohead is like that for pop music. I mean, Radiohead's no,
okay.
a pop rock
All
band,
right. okay.
and Deftones right. is as popular as you can get in that genre.
In
I
the
mean,
metal,
like, if
yeah.
you go genre by genre and you go in right. that way, they are as successful as Radiohead.
Right.
I mean, they've been around as long. I mean, I think that they have held up that artistic mantle as well as any of the other bands of their generation,
sure.
you know, in the sense that the fans are constantly... pleased with what they come out with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't feel like they turn off fans with any of the albums that they come out with, but at the same time, I think that they're not like boring anybody either in the
no.
way the Radiohead has.
No, 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 no. I don't think they are either. And another similarity I can think of is the pop success early on. Both bands had kind of a, you know, big rise to fame because of the scene, like basically right place, right time.
Mm.
Plus they made great music, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so with Radiohead, it was like the post grunge type stuff. And really this was, you know, 97. It wasn't too far after Radiohead was experiencing their full blown blow up, you know?
Yeah.
That Deftones also became a pop, you know, they're a pop band as far as like they were on the radio with
sure.
this album,
oh, sure.
you know, and like big
I
success.
I think that they're both similar in the sense that Radiohead took a bunch of fans from one genre of music into another genre of music, and I think Deftones did the same thing, where they took a bunch of new metal fans and they took them all into that next generation of metal
yeah.
and beyond. And Radiohead yeah. has taken a bunch of like pop rock fans and taking them into electronica and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes back. They kind of go, here we kind of come back a little bit and all that sort of stuff, make sure everybody's on board sort of thing. But yeah, you know,
yeah.
I mean, they are a band that broadens the horizons of people that listen to them faithfully, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So their Spotify bio reads as such. It's nice and short. Deftones have released 8 studio albums to date and have sold over 10 million albums worldwide. The band is vocalist-guitarist Chino Moreno, guitarist Stephen Carpenter, keyboardist-samplist Frank Delgado, drummer Abe Cunningham, and bassist Sergio Vega. Their 9th studio album, Ohms, is slated for September 25th, 2020.
Okay.
And if you're listening to this right now, Ohms is out, you know, because we planned this. And so...
Right.
Be sure to look out for our Hit or Shit episode about the album or a single or whatever we listen to. So, Deftones, fucking cool band. But also, you know, there's plenty of people who are... If you don't like the vocals, it's kind of a deal breaker.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I get that. But we're going to check out Around the Fur, which is where they really sort of hit it bigger. They hit it bigger
mm-hmm.
with this one. And... it's also fucking
it's
cool.
Continuing that Radiohead, like the liking them to Radiohead, it's their bends.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they had like one song off the first album that really
right.
popped off, but then they really wanted to get rid of it. Like, they kind of left the wrapping. They wrapped a little bit, which everyone was like, okay, it's a little too much nu metal. Mm-hmm. And they kind of left that at the door on this album. Although there's some, like, whispery scream stuff that you could say is similar.
Sure.
But, yeah, so we're going to listen to the first track, which was a big old hit called My Own Summer. And, yeah, the vibe with this album is very interesting. I want to see, like, what you kind of think of. And let's just start it off right here. Parentheses, shove it.
Yeah, it sounds more dated than I remember it. Kind of, you know, it's got definitely like that Marilyn Manson sort of '90s kind of whispery badassery sort.
Oh,
of.
Oh yeah, the whisper. Yeah. Chino's all about the whispery shit. Yeah.
Just the production on the vocal too, and just different things. Yeah, it's a great song. Great song.
Yeah.
That's a great one.
Yeah. No, it definitely sounds like when it came out. It dates itself, but the one of my favorite things about this album is the production. You know?
Yeah. It's not what I think of when I think of them, like this type of production, really. And I guess it's still got that nu metal. So I don't really think of him as a nu metal band at this point. You know what I'm saying? Really, like, kind of like the reason when I started liking them as past their nu metal period. You know what I'm saying? And, like,
they transcend
it. And this still has some parts in it, like, where they're shouting and the guy's screaming. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of like, all we need is, like, somebody, like, scratching a record and we're there.
Oh, baby. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And then I'm kind of like, okay, but then it pulls back, like you say, from going all the way in,
right?
And it makes it tolerable, more tolerable.
You know, well, yeah, and I think it's like without the shitty connotation of nu metal, like it's cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like they take the good parts and they consolidate them, and it's cool grooves. You know, it's the drums are groovier than your typical metal. You know, they're more like. Mm. Actually, like, can you stay off your phone, Craig?
Now
it's you.
Okay, now
yeah.
It's me.
Come
first,
on.
First
Stop
time
texting
ever.
Ladies, Craig.
God damn.
Stop texting ladies.
They're texting me.
I know. It's
damn.
Tough. I know. But you got look. You're right here. This is where I want you.
I keep trying to, like, give her the last, the text. I'm trying to get the finisher text.
Let her
know?
Just wonder.
Finish
let,
her test.
Let her wonder.
And she said that she's...
No, don't step says, up. Let her wonder. What's he doing? Why didn't
she
answer to my joke?
She no, we're not doing the joke thing.
Okay.
I keep trying to like... Okay. I keep
all
trying
right,
to,
okay.
To let well, it go.
Okay.
She's trying to invite you to the park with us on Friday. And now I don't want to invite you. That's what we are texting about, you raging ass.
You don't have to fucking do it right now. Sure. Wow. Here we go.
We should see if Spencer wants to come. Or do we hate him? That's what
or
we asked
him. Like, we hate
and
him.
I texted back, oh, we hate him, but I'll throw out an invite anyway.
What? Maya, why would we hate me? Why? It's like she knew. It's like she read. She read that she's psychic. What was I even saying before? God damn it.
You're talking about the Deftones.
Oh,
and
right.
You're berating me for being on my phone.
People, I'm sorry. Look, he can't even
turning
not.
It over.
He can't even
Jesus,
stop touching
just
it.
Just once. Marley, do you all those dings?
Dude,
that's Spencer. Like, oh, well.
I would. Okay, let's.
I gotta text my mom.
We'll get into this. This is off air. This is off air.
I gotta text my mom.
This is an off air thing.
That, actually, I have that.
That happened one time, and it was my mom. It's my beloved mother. Mm-hmm. She needed help with something.
She must text a lot.
Because normal amount, I guess. But
because you're busy over there a lot. Like,
oh yeah, well you know that happens sometimes. But not all but yeah, Deftones. They took the best of the new metal. They made it. You know, in my opinion, on this album. It's still pretty identifiably nu metal, which is going to turn a lot of people off. And it did for me, too, for the longest time, because I was like, nu metal is fucking lame as shit, and Janko jeans and clown paint are lame, and all that stuff is lame.
Right.
But then I listened to this, and I kind of like forgot about nu metal in general. And I was like, this is its own thing, and even though this might be something that like Korn would do, they're just doing the good parts. And so I'm like,
yeah, they are
like with a hip hop kind of beat with the drums and, you know,
they're still coming around to agreeing with me about what the good parts are.
Yeah.
But they are doing the good parts as far as they see it right here. And we come into more accordance later on about like what the good parts are. You know what I'm saying?
I see. Sure.
They're still making that transition. And I think a lot of it might be record company pressure in different things. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like that first album is like Radiohead's first album in the sense that I believe that you're coming out with this and it's going to sound nu metal. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, of the band, like, isn't the guy, the turntablist, and that guy is the only guy that's left and come back in the band, right? Other than that, the lineup's been steady.
Yeah. Well, their bass player died. Their original guy died.
Okay.
And so now there's a new one. But other than that, it's been steady. So I think there was, you know, a push and pull with that part of their genre. And they didn't want to be seen as that kind of band, you know.
Sure, sure.
But they still had a lot of the same influences. They're like, I fucking love Dr. Dre. Yeah. And I love, you know, Metallica.
Yeah.
And I you know what I mean? Or I love, you know, Pantera or whatever.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's interesting, and they are starting to pull away on this album, which is why I like this one. So let's listen to the next song.
Okay,
it's probably got I think it does have a little bit more, but it's more their heavier side.
Okay,
so take that for what it is.
A little more what? A little more.
Maybe a little more of that nu metal in it.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more, but yeah, let's see what you think about this one.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah!
That was the title track, Around the Fur.
Yeah, that one is more nu metal, but it does like all the kind of the groovy things that nu metal does. You know, it has that long, like, I hate to say it, kind of that Linkin Park kind of thing, where Linkin Park really fucking would be funky for that minute. You'd be like, oh, yeah, what is this? And you'd be like, oh, it's this. Yeah. When it trick you. This is what, like, nu metal trick you.
I see.
It's a tricky, like, oh, maybe I like this. And maybe you do.
Right, so like maybe like, before the drums come in, or before the music comes in, you're talking about.
And your friend sees you kind of grooving to it, and they're like, oh, do you want me to get you some clown paint, you fucking clown?
See, this is how these old golds go. This is how it'll happen.
Dude.
It'll be Craig shows me something, I'm like, I'm completely blown away. And then I'm like, it's my turn to show Craig something. And he's just like...
Oh, don't get me wrong. Dude, I'm loving this.
Okay.
No, seriously, I'm loving this. I'm going to listen to this. I'm going to listen to this album because I've never went this deep into it. No, I'm giving you the wrong. I'm just trying to be funny or whatever. You do it.
Okay, no, you're right. You're right. I'm being sensitive then, I guess, because I like it. I'm being sensitive.
Oh, no, it's great. Dude, okay. It's kind of like... I don't know what it. It's kind of like that undiscovered, like good Marilyn Manson meets new metal kind of thing. I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, see, for me, like the clincher, I guess, and the reason why I thought you would dig it is because Chino has always been like a big like the Smiths, Depeche Mode, like new wave kind of fan.
Oh yeah, it's very goth, dude.
Yeah,
it's very goth. It's very that industrial dance thing that I like. It's got like some front 242 going on in it, and like some of that industrial stuff.
Totally.
Like, as much as the new, which you know it makes sense because it's new metal, but like it's got like a healthy dose of all of that. I mean, it sounds like Sisters of Mercy at times. I mean, like the guitar sound is like Sisters of Mercy at times.
Yeah.
It's got, all the things.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And it's funny because they're from Sacramento, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of roughly Hispanic origin and or, you know, association. I don't know what the fuck, but the Smiths, right, are like huge in the Hispanic community.
Oh yeah, huge.
And so it's a weird connection that I didn't really know about or make when I first heard them, and then now that I have learned more about that kind of music, I'm like, oh, I hear it all over the place in this stuff, especially with the vocal style. He's doing like a very much dude from the Smiths, what the fuck is his name?
Morrissey,
yeah.
Yeah.
He's doing a very, like, Morrissey thing sometimes.
Yeah.
Where he's like, it's like all quiet, kind of, and it's not full Morrissey.
No, it's not full Morrissey, but it's in that sort of, it's in that school sort of.
Right.
You know, it would have been silly if you'd have tried to do a full Morrissey. You know, you just have to have that accent to even sing like that. But he does do sort of some of that phrase repeating and that phrase mimicking, mirroring that Morrissey does in his lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell that he's like listened to like how Morrissey writes lyrics.
Yeah.
And then applied that to like how the music that he's singing.
Right.
Kind of.
And the lyrics
it's still very heavy.
Oh, definitely. You know, and dark. It's very dark. His melodies in Deftones are dark.
Even the vocals are still very on that. Overly crazy, on the crazy side and not the sad side,
right?
You know, like, and that kind of breaks from the goth thing a little bit too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Morrissey kind of broke with the goth thing too, where he wasn't really scary as much as he was like this weird, like, gay intellectual sort of thing instead. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So they're both like kind of, but he's borrowing deep from a lot of things that are great.
Yeah. And so that, and like, the lyrics I think are better
now
than
on the
most
first, on the
new
first
metal.
Album, is it as goth as this on the first album? No.
No, it is. Like, it's still there, but there's
it's more straightforward
of,
just metal.
New metal. It's more new metal, I would say, predominantly.
It's got more of a rap, a lot more rappy sort of thing going on.
Yeah, like the main song, I think, is Bored, that one, it still has the chorus that I would say is borrowing, you know, his melodies and vocal style is more from like the new wave era of things, but it's got like rap in it too.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's got a little more rappy type stuff.
Well, I mean, like everything came, I mean, all the lyrics that were coming out of this whole genre were kind of coming out of that too. In the new wavy sort of lyrical goth industrial type.
Yeah.
Of,
yeah.
You know, it was a common, it wasn't just these guys that were influenced by the goth industrial dance.
Yeah.
In new metal.
But as far as like the big new metal bands, like there's probably like the big five. There's like Korn, Linkin Park, Slipknot, Deftones, and like maybe Limp Bizkit or some shit.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, Limp Bizkit.
Definitely Limp Bizkit. That's one that nobody likes to. But seriously, just two of those have taken on the face paint, the entire showmanship of like that gothic industrial movement in music and applied it to metal.
Mm-hmm.
And they're thematically they're goth and they're that super dark thing almost more than metal, you know?
Yeah.
And
I mean, it's there. I mean, It's super there. I would argue
maybe
though
not
that like
Linkin Park and maybe, I don't know, just it's a kind of veer on the Linkin Deftones first album. Does it veer towards the more Linkin Park and,
but
I
it's
hate
like
to say it, Limp Bizkit, like kind of more college rock sort of thing, California rock rather than like that. Because they feel like they become more like European and
arty.
Deftones
become
arty. More European. Yeah, arty. Yeah. I guess, whatever it is. But they feel like they could like totally like, I don't know. They don't feel like a California band to me anymore, whatever that means either.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they are their own thing.
Yeah,
I mean, they always went to Seattle to record too.
But I feel like they should live like, oh, they all live in Belgium or something.
Yeah.
Or like I have an island off the coast of, you know, something like that.
Right.
Scotland.
Yeah.
You know, they all hang out in Scotland a lot.
No,
you know?
Totally.
I don't know why. I don't know.
They've got
become
that sound.
More sophisticated.
Yeah.
I guess what it is. And this is just still, this is, and I guess I have to hear, this is that first album too, but I'm just trying to think of, they're kind of becoming more.
More into what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's like their first foray, but it's still pretty new metal as far as like the sounds and the tones and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, they're embracing the new wave thing.
But they're doing all the good stuff. Like you say, they're picking all the good stuff out of new metal here.
Yeah. It's like, I get the shitty connotation with the new metal as far as like,
oh sure,
you know, especially having lived through like seeing actively all that shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no,
like,
it was unfortunate and it got really old and all that shit, but I think like enough distance is now passed that it's kind of starting to come back, and some of those bands are just never going to be appreciated again. You know, I don't think that like a big nostalgia for like Limp Bizkit is coming. You know, I just think politically and emotionally the world has moved on, and it'll be like the Mungo Jerry of the 60s. There was never like a big like, oh boy, we miss Mungo Jerry. What's he doing now? You know?
Maybe.
Even though he was the number one artist.
He
was,
huh?
Yeah. So like,
I don't know, Cray.
Some bands like these guys will hold up to that NPR type of spotlight.
The critique. The intellectualization.
Right. I think Slipknot. I think Korn. I think like those bands will hold up.
Like even, but the difference that I would argue between the bands you just listed and Deftones is like the consistency, and they were able to like the consistency of quality throughout their career, because all those other bands have released some stinkers.
Well, they didn't
stay
a new metal band.
No,
They just continued on as a band like Radiohead.
Right.
You know, in the sense that like they just became like them.
Right.
You know, where a lot of those other bands I mentioned are going to be new metal bands that are going to be looked back somewhat fondly.
Sure.
With some nostalgia.
Like that album.
And the Deftones I have to listen to that first album again, but I imagine the Deftones will be one of those that'll be like, it's new metal spotlight on fucking whatever, and we're going to play some of the greatest new metal songs, and the Deftones will have their hit on there.
They got to be
along
on there
with all the other dudes, you know. But if they leave one off, it'll be fucking Limp Bizkit. Because, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I disagree.
It's statistically right, but it's like,
no, man, I disagree. I think some of that stuff is good.
And they love it.
I like it. I've been listening to it again. And I'm like, this is, it's all about the he said, she said bullshit. I'm just like, you know what? It's so, like, I get, it's so annoying and cringy. I get it. But I'm also like, it's also good. And there's a lot
maybe
of bad.
Maybe I'll. Damn it. No, I don't have.
It's fun.
I won't do it.
It's
I'm
fun,
not
Craig.
Revisit it.
It's good like the way Headstrong is good.
Mm.
Headstrong, I'll take you on. And I'll, you know, fucking dress up in some like tight leather vampire killing clothes and Wesley Snipes that shit.
I guess if you're drunk,
bump some Headstrong.
Are you drunk when you listen to this stuff?
You're drunk off power. You're drunk off the power it gives you.
I could see how I could have fun listening to Limp Bizkit if I was pretty drunk with the right group of people enjoying it.
Mm, I'm going to have to start playing some Limp Bizkit.
They're
for
like
Greg.
Some Sheryl Crow of new metal.
They are. I mean, Limp Bizkit, it's down to like single songs kind of a thing. So I don't know. And I didn't want to get too into
parts
this.
Parts of single songs.
We'll see. We'll see about that. We'll see how time
not,
shines.
You're not playing a bunch of Deftones around me. That's just not happening.
You mean Limp Bizkit.
Oh, Limp Bizkit. Yeah, you're playing Deftones.
I am
sorry.
Playing Deftones.
Sorry.
But yes. See, yeah, I don't like this association. I'm trying to break this.
Let's get back to the Deftones.
Yes, let's break this. And that's what makes Deftones awesome. They've taken more risks. They've become their own thing. And, you know, they managed to outlast the nu metal fallout, like when it became not cool anymore at all.
They were already done.
Who?
I think they were done with it. By the time it became not cool.
Yeah, exactly. They had already, they were moving away from it while it was still happening. Right, and that's what this album is them like stepping away from their original nu metal sound and doing more of the.
And tell me what year this album was again?
97.
So nu metal still had 2 years.
Oh,
two
yeah.
3 years, strong years.
Yeah.
And they were done with nu metal by the time nu metal was done.
Right. And when White Pony came around in 2000. Right,
it was
like
a whole new game.
Well, yeah. I think they kind of put the cap on the whole thing because, like, all the best nu metal albums more or less had come out already, you know.
Uh huh.
And yeah, they were already done with it, but they were considered like the cutting edge, you know. And they have like a song with Maynard on it that's fucking awesome. They have, you know, heavy, really heavy songs. They've got just so much cool shit on that album that. Everyone's like, oh, there is something of this genre that's like artistically valid that came out of this world. And like, we will let this continue to thrive. Like, that's kind of what the general public decided. Mm-hmm. And even though they have albums that their fans love more or less, you know,
yeah.
Like the follow up to White Pony wasn't received that well, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But. You know, they're still, they've been pumping them out and people are stoked on them and they're playing big shows and
yeah.
They've released some of their best material, arguably, in the second half of their career.
What effect do you think it was that it had that they took a break for those years at the end of the nu metal? Because nu metal got overexposed, I would say.
And so did they, I think.
Yeah.
Like, they were part of that, like the Back to School song that's really popular off of the White Pony.
Uh-huh.
You know,
but that was later.
Memified.
But when was White Pony? What year?
2000.
2000. But that was the end of nu metal.
Right, but that was like, it coincided. It was like, that was when the overexposure happened, and then 2001, it was the die-off kind of a thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So they just kind of hit the final crescendo of it.
Yeah. And but also made an album good enough to like
break
launch them
it.
Out of it.
Yeah.
Because it was different enough. Uh-huh. All the nu metal people loved it, but then all the rock people loved it.
Because
uh-huh. It didn't have all the annoying rapping. Or what they thought was annoying rapping. You know?
Right. Which was at that point annoying.
It
rapping.
Was pretty annoying, yeah. But yeah, so it's a cool thing. And these albums have been produced, their first three, I think, were all produced by Terry Date, who is just a fucking killer producer. And one of my favorite things about this album in particular is, I mean, this is some music nerd shit, but the drummer uses a different snare on every song, pretty much, like a different snare drum. And the snare tone on this album is so good. And like the drum dynamics, like he'll start playing quietly, but it's still so punchy and poppy, like it cuts through. Uh-huh. Like really listen for the snare in this next song and listen to how like it's a huge wall of guitars, Chino's singing and everything, but the snare still fucking pops like it's right there. And it's it's one of my favorite snare tones of all time, really. Right. Yeah.
And where did they record it? Did they record it in a studio or on a mobile?
In a studio up in Seattle.
Okay.
Yeah. Because okay. Terry Date, I forget what else he's done. He's done a lot of famous records, though. Let me see. Terry Date. Yeah, he's done like a lot of classic Overkill, Metal Church, Slipknot, Pantera, Soulfly, White Zombie, okay. Deftones, Dream Theater.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so he's of the era, for sure.
Sure, absolutely. Cool. So what's the next song that we're going to do?
So this is the last and final song we'll play. Okay. It's called Be Quiet and Drive.
Okay.
Yeah. And this was another pretty solid hit from the album. These are the two big songs.
Awesome. Be Quiet and Drive.
Yeah. In parentheses, Far Away. I never really know how to add that part. You know, do I say
that?
Yeah.
They
like to do that. They like to have fun song titles.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Rolling Stones, that do, 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 do song.
Yeah.
Which I listened to again is great. But that's another one. Like, it's impossible to tell anybody what the name of that song is.
Right. Oh, it's do, and do, it's, do.
It's, and it's
do,
really,
do.
As far as 70 Stones go, I would put it in, like, the top 10 of their songs.
Yeah, that name really kills it.
They just called it Heartbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
But that was a Led Zeppelin song. So.
Damn.
But, cool.
Well, you want to check this one out?
I definitely do.
All right, let's fucking do this shit. Far Away. Chino gets pretty whiny on that one.
Yeah, he does get pretty whiny on this one. I mean, I don't know about the end, the vocal part at the end of it, but I mean, musically it's super strong all the way through. And you're right, dude. The drum sound is pretty amazing.
Right? It's crazy.
And it doesn't fall into any of the traps of like the other nu metal like mixes sometimes where it kind of gets that really high sound and
that ping.
Yeah.
Shit, yeah.
And that gives it a little more of like a punk kind of sound because that snare's so bright.
Yeah.
You know, and this does not have that at all. Even though the drums are prominent enough that you don't like miss the drums or anything, but it's just right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Deftones have always nailed that, and Terry Date as well. The production has always been on another level, I thought. Especially for what's around back then.
Yeah, this you can tell is definitely a single. You know, this I don't know. I mean, I do feel like this is kind of a play towards the radio.
Yeah.
Kind of in a way that they stopped doing later on. You know, and
well, I don't know. Like,
or maybe to their old No, it's kind of a homage to like their original sound, maybe more. I don't know.
Whoa.
It's more like what people would expect.
Yes. Well, this is like what they got big for.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, this is, and
this sounds kinda like one of their singles.
It is, yeah, because
right.
It was.
I know.
And, but I mean, it's still, and so it's got more of that nu metal shit in it, for sure. But it's like, they were still searching for their sound with this release, I guess. And I think it's what a lot of people hear initially when they hear Deftones. It's like these songs, like, or at least two of
sure.
them.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so, yeah, like these. And so they went a step further on White Pony, where it's like even further from the nu metal thing while
well,
still
this
being.
This even has some like really hard rock things going on.
And, yeah.
You know, I mean, this is a step away from nu metal, even like towards hard rock rather than like other kinds of metal.
Sure.
I would say.
Yeah.
In a way that the other song that we the other songs on this album were not a step
right.
away into the hard at least into the hard rock arena.
Right.
And this sounded like it could be Bush at times.
Sure, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
or
yeah,
like
yeah.
at least Smashing Pumpkins at times.
Yeah.
No doubt.
No doubt. And but they always
not
have
no doubt. They didn't sound like No Doubt.
Oh no.
At any point.
No.
No.
No, not quite No Doubt. Not
no Smashing
Gwen.
Pumpkins. They did have a little Smashing Pumpkins in that first third of it for sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Which is great. I mean, I
yeah.
that, yeah.
What was I going to say?
I don't know. You're going to try to argue with me and tell me I was wrong about
no,
that.
No. You're right. No, it was about, yeah, the hard rock thing, I think, became, that's like the direction they went in. Like, just more generalized, you know?
In this song.
Yeah, in this song,
yeah,
but then
right.
overall, like, in their career, was, like, more of this song. Maybe with, like, more variations, but if you listen to their last album, Gore, there's a lot of... I mean, it's a lot softer, too. Like,
yeah.
You
yeah.
know, so they continue to flirt with this thing, and while this is, I would say, definitely a
well,
radio song...
I think it keeps
song,
their other stuff really, like, listenable.
Well, yeah,
I mean,
they, yeah, they
all
switch
metal,
it up,
it keeps
yeah.
their medical... It keeps everything kind of fresh.
Yeah,
it's because I mean they are like they kind of want to be a hard rock band, you know. I mean they kind of would be okay if they sold the numbers that like Radiohead sold, you know.
Sure.
You know they're just
yeah.
not going to give up on those certain elements that like make them who they are,
right?
But like they're you know they're capable of writing that level of like pop rock hard rock song.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
But like Radiohead, like a good 7 of the 10 songs on their albums are not things that you would ever consider to ever release as a single.
Right.
Right.
Anything that should be on the radio or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. But they're still good.
Right. And even like with Radiohead, and like there's some singles that they come out with that you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
If you think that Pyramid Song should be a single, then you go for it,
yeah.
buddy. You know?
Interesting
That's the
choice.
Saddest four chords on the piano again and again and again for 7 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you do what you want.
Yeah, do what you want.
But that's the last one for us.
Yeah,
that we had today. Well, thank you, Spenny. That
yeah,
was a good one.
It's a good album. It's a fun album. Everyone should check it out and check out the new Deftones album.
I think I'm just going to have a listening party and just listen to like the first three albums by these guys.
Yeah,
I think that would be good. Maybe in the first four.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, first three I think is good. I mean, because the fourth, then you can decide if you want to keep going. You know what I mean?
Well, I know I want to keep going because I like the stuff after the third album. You know, onward.
You do, yeah.
You know, like the more recent stuff is the stuff that I prefer.
Yeah. No, me too. Honestly, like for the most part,
that's what I listen to the most, at least.
Yeah.
But I never listened to the first two albums really hardly at all.
Yeah, they're...
Hardly at all.
The
first
I
album,
know.
I know the single.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to like that
one. What's
the
name of the single off the first album?
Bored?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I checked it out a couple times.
Yeah,
but
I don't think it's going to be quite for you. If this stuff is like a borderline on too much nu metal...
It definitely wasn't for me back in the day.
Right.
When I heard it
yeah.
back then. Deftones were not like on my radar as a good thing, that first album.
Right.
But then later on.
Later on, you're like,
yeah.
oh, okay.
And then since I've been hanging out with you and, like, I heard some of the more recent stuff, I'm like, oh, well, this is just pretty much good all the way, like,
yeah.
through.
Yeah, they're quality shit, man.
Yeah.
They're quality. Yeah. And so yeah, I'm excited for the new stuff.
Yeah, new album in another 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Two or 3 weeks from when we're recording this. And hopefully when we release this, it'll be out. in you guys.
Yeah, so everybody look out for the new album. We're going to have a Hit or Shit 2 coming out. It's going to be like a little Deftones cyclone of Idiots Discussing the Universe around that release thing. And maybe we can piggyback with them onto the heights of...
The heights of stardom.
The middle part of the sky.
Yeah.
We're not going to be one of the highest stars.
No.
But we'll be hanging from that...
Hanging
second,
from
the
a bottom...
second firmament.
Yeah.
I believe it's called the second firmament.
Is that what that is?
I don't know. if we were all like medieval scholars.
Oh, right. Where it's everything's flat.
There's different levels of the firmament above you.
Right.
And then you break through that and that's where
heaven,
God lives.
Yes. Cool. It's pretty sweet.
Because you know that there's a famous picture of the guy that's kind of climbing through the horizon and he's looking out. Alchemical drawing.
I don't know. That before. I don't know that rings any bells.
We
but
need to do like a YouTube channel about like all that stuff because I've got so many visual stuff that'd be fun to talk about.
That would be.
You know, but you kind of have to have somebody, the audience needs to be able to look at it too.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm
saying? Visual stuff's too, it's difficult for the podcast.
Yeah. But there's so much to talk about that way.
There is, yeah.
You can do painting of the day. With the 80s.
Painting of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. All right, everybody. Thank you, Spenny.
Hell
for
yeah.
For sharing a fucking
my
great
pleasure.
Album. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And thanks, everybody, for telling their friends about us and getting them to listen into. Or even don't tell them about us. Just
or
trick
don't.
Them. Just trick them.
Yeah. Just put it on.
Or maybe just like, you know, that's probably not good. I was going to say, like, write our name on a piece of paper, then wrap that around a rock and throw it through their window. And they would never
don't,
know
don't,
that it's you, but they would associate us with
don't
the rock.
Don't do that.
So
no,
I don't
no.
think that's good.
No, no,
that's
no. Good. Craig's saying
but
not to do
that.
Make
some homemade lawn signs.
That's
It's election season.
Mm-hmm.
Put a lawn sign with our name up on there, and people won't know what the hell to think.
Right.
They'll probably vandalize it.
Are they running for governor, too?
We might get some votes.
We probably will get one vote.
You know, our podcast could run for mayor of Portland and probably finish pretty strong.
Has a podcast ever been a mayor before?
I don't know.
I don't know
exactly
either.
How that goes, but I think that if it was going to happen, like Portland, Oregon would be a good place to do it.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, we've got, like, we'll be hated.
Oh, hey, oh.
Yeah. But
we
it's
have
already
to hide.
Smoky outside. I mean, seriously, like,
yeah,
what are they going to do?
It's already burning to the ground.
Break some windows, steal my car. What are you going to do? Steal my car?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too bad,
too
suckers.
Late, suckers.
We both don't have a car.
Tell me where it is, where you find it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, everybody, we'll see y'all in a couple days with more Deftones, probably.
Probably, yeah. Or, yeah.
Idiots Discuss the Universe is recorded in IDTU Studios, located in Portland, Oregon. All opinions and commentary has been carefully researched by the technicians and scholars of IDTU Research Academy, and therefore should be greeted with healthy skepticism and disbelief. No idiots were harmed during the making of this podcast.